The golden hour is a term dating back to the Vietnam War. It describes that crucial hour just after a soldier is injured in which the proper medical care can make the greatest impact on survival and recovery. In Iraq, U.S. troops can be transported to the U.S. Air Force Hospital Theater in Balad or one of three other combat support hospitals within 30 minutes of an injury. Iraqi military troops and even insurgents are also treated at Balad. But for Iraqi police and police in training who are injured, U.S. military hospitals are usually not an option. Mike Hidingsfield spent 13 months in Iraq for DynCorp International as the top U.S. civilian trainer of Iraqi police, and he recently returned to the U.S. He joins us from Memphis. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Now, you and your cadets, the Iraqi police you were training, were often under attack in Iraq. What was the protocol for delivering injured Iraqi police officers to medical care?
Well, if there were simultaneous casualties with coalition members, which would be U.S. police advisors, often both the Iraqis and the U.S. police officers would be taken to the combat support hospital in the Green Zone in Baghdad. If it was local nationals only who were injured, typically they would opt to go to a local facility for their medical care.
I wonder if you could describe for us what it was like when one of your men was hurt badly, and it was during that so-called golden hour, that crucial time when they need to be stabilized.
Well, let me begin by saying that during the course of 14 months there, 12 men and one woman who worked for me, all either U.S. police officers or South African security members, were killed. And I was there for virtually every one of those. We try to very quickly to contain the situation, repel the attack if it's occurring, get out of the kill zone if we think we're going to be ambushed a second time in that particular area, and remove them very quickly to a medical facility. It happens very, very quickly, and everybody is focused on saving lives.
And it doesn't matter if they're American or Iraqi.
Makes no difference whatsoever.
So in that situation, do they have a choice, the Iraqi police, the Iraqi nationals, about whether they'll go to a coalition facility or an Iraqi facility?
Well, sometimes they were in such a condition that they could not make a choice. But we found that they often had a preference to go to a community facility where their family could access them and they had some sense of familiarity, I think is probably the best term, with the surroundings.
Have you ever been to one of these facilities?
I have.
And what do they look like?
They look like hospitals that date back, I would say, the mid-1950s, 1940s. That's kind of my impression in general. A two-generation gap between the facilities that we have and the ones that I saw.
It seems remarkable to me that here you have people working with the coalition, working alongside Americans to become Iraqi police officers. Is it distrustful of Americans in the hospital setting? Is that why they prefer to go to their own facilities?
Well, I don't know. I think it's probably a combination of dynamics. One is a complete lack of familiarity with the American medical system, and probably not distrustfulness, perhaps as much as just anxiety and the uncertainty of what they're getting into. They're getting inserted into a system where nobody's going to speak their language, and they're going to be very isolated.
Mike Hidingsfield is the former top civilian commander in charge of training Iraqi police, and he joined us from Memphis, Tennessee. And thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.